all the info you need on the Vanderbilt Commodores. This is the from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time to get all the info you need on the Vanderbilt Commodores. This is the Anchor Down Podcast with Vanderbilt reporter Max Hurd.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, Max.
On Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
And the Game Nashville app.
It's time to anchor down and listen up to the Anchor Down Podcast here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Our midweek Thursday edition here on October the 15th. And our weekly Commodore player interview from Vandy football rolls on, even though this Saturday's game against Missouri is postponed because of COVID cases and contact tracing severely limiting the Vanderbilt football team's available players below the number of available scholarship players necessary to play a game by conference rule, which is 53. The team got back to practice on Wednesday with the players who are allowed to practice. They practiced again on Thursday. Derek Mason addressed the media Wednesday. Basically said, we're doing everything we can to play in 2 weeks on Saturday, October 31st against Ole Miss. No game against Missouri this week. That's tentatively scheduled for the open week of December 12th, in between the last week of the conference-only regular season and the SEC championship game, which is pushed back to December the 19th in Atlanta. But that's a long ways away. Priority number one right now is after the postponement and after they're scheduled by two Saturdays from now, playing Ole Miss on October the 31st, which would be a home game for the Commodores at 3 p.m. Ole Miss having issues of their own as well. And Vanderbilt is not the only canceled game in the conference, so we'll monitor this as it continues to go. But one of Vanderbilt's available players is Keon Henry-Brooks, sophomore running back. Made his season debut this past week after missing the first two games with an illness. He returned. Don't know if that means COVID-19 or not, but that is what the official terminology has been for Keon Henry-Brooks' absence the first two games. He returned 13 carries, 72 yards as the lead running back for the Commodores in the first game of his sophomore season after backing up Keyshawn Vaughn last year. We'll talk about what COVID practice looks like, what the road ahead looks like, his debut last season, adding his father's last name to hyphenate his last name. Last year he went by Keon Brooks. This year he is Keon Henry-Brooks. So you learn the story behind that, and we'll talk about the goal line play in which he thought he should have caught a touchdown for the Commodores on Saturday, and he did not get the ball. So Keon Henry-Brooks, our weekly player guest here on the Anchor Down Podcast. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. And after the interview on today's show, we'll play for you something that Derek Mason and Will Muschamp said on the SEC Network's Great SEC Inside program that sheds some light on, in my opinion, the biggest turning point in the South Carolina game. You'll hear that after the interview. Keon Henry-Brooks is first up here on the show. Keon Henry-Brooks is our player interview this week. Made his season debut at running back. Keon, thanks for doing this.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
It has been an interesting last week or so for you. You got back into game shape after missing the first two games with an illness. You made your season debut and played really well with limited numbers around you. And then you found out your next game was postponed. What have these last 7 to 10 days been like?
They've been crazy, really. You know, you go into, you know, I just got back from playing my first game of the season. You know, I was excited to be back. You know, finally getting back into the groove of things, getting back at practice and things like that. And then next thing you know, I'm told we don't have a game for week three or week four. So, you know, that was upsetting for me. But, you know, that's more time for me and my teammates to really work on the little things and, you know, the fundamentals get better to prepare us for the upcoming games, you know?
Hopefully there's another game in 2 weeks. You played really well in this last game against South Carolina. What sticks with you from your individual performance in your season debut?
I feel like I was able to, you know, my vision was really well. I was able to see holes develop and, you know, take certain cuts, really, you know, make certain cuts really fast and make sure I get upfield, you know, wasn't running sideways too much. You know, I enjoyed catching the football. You know, I had 4 receptions. And, you know, being able to use me a lot on my first day back, you know, that really meant a lot to me because it shows that, you know, coach is still able to trust me being even though I was gone for 2 weeks.
It was great to see heavy usage for you. And a big part of that was that Javion Marlowe didn't play after leading the workload for the running backs the first 2 weeks while you were out. When did you guys find out that Javion wasn't going to play in that game? And how much did that change your potential snap count and amount of touches?
We actually found out maybe a day or two after I got back from my illness. So, you know, we gained one and lost one in the same process. And for me and my snaps, you know, coming back, I knew I was going to have to work hard to make, you know, to get some more carries and stuff like that. But with Javion being gone, that just, you know, bumped me right back up there. So, you know, me and J-Mo had to carry the workload, make sure we do everything right, and just hold it down until he comes back.
Vanderbilt sophomore running back Keon Henry Brooks is our guest here on the Anchor Down podcast. How cool was it for you to see Jamari Wakefield and Javion Marlowe both get 15 carries in each of the first two games while you were out?
It was good. You know, a lot of people have been calling us three-headed monster, and they definitely held it down while I was gone. And, you know, I enjoyed watching them on the TV screen. You know, it was a little upsetting I wasn't out there with them, but just watching them run the ball and run hard and just helping our offense really, you know, that made me feel better, because it goes to show how hard they be working, you know, when nobody's looking or when I'm not around.
Even in a COVID world, is it disappointing that the three of you aren't going to get to play in a game together until at least Halloween?
Oh, definitely. That's definitely disappointing. You know, I consider those two guys my brothers. You know, I'm pretty much a little brother, but, you know, I still give them the work sometimes. But, but you know, in this during this pandemic, playing pandemic football, it's pretty hard, you know, because you never know who's gonna drop out or who's gonna be quarantined. So you just gotta stay on your toes and keep working despite everything that's going on around you.
Keon Henry Brooks from Vandy Football is on the phone talking about pandemic football. The team got back to practice yesterday, even though there's no game this week and the scheduled bye week next week. Derek Mason said yesterday the amount of scholarship players in that practice was somewhere between 40 and 50. You just finished up another practice here as we talk on Thursday morning. What have these last two practice sessions been like with really half the team, it seems like?
It's been really quiet, but, you know, despite not having a lot of players here, everybody's still putting in work, you know, still going full speed, making sure we're perfecting our craft and preparing ourselves for the upcoming games. You know, so despite having a few amount of players, it's still, you know, the energy is still high, you know, because we don't have no choice. We got to make sure that we're ready when our time comes.
What do you guys do in a practice with 45 to 55 people?
Really the same things as usual. You know, we work on offense or, you know, 7-on-7, just working on the passing game or, you know, perfecting certain plays or installing new plays. And some, you know, you can't really work against each other as much due to limited numbers. But, you know, we still have some periods where, you know, we'll go head-to-head with the defense and see how things are going, stuff like that.
We don't know who's there and who's not right now, with the exception of those guys who didn't play on Saturday who were expected to, and we know there have been more since then. But how much of an opportunity is it for players? And a good example from the game is true freshman safety Chase Lloyd, who are now getting starter level reps in practice if there are starters at their position who are not able to be there?
It's next man up, you know, because we're not, you know, you never really know whether or not somebody's gonna come right back out of quarantine when they're said they're allowed out. So while people are out right now, they just got to step up. Like Chase, he was put in the game because he stepped up and worked pretty hard in practice. You know, I've seen him on the other side of the ball putting in work, making sure, you know, he's doing what he needs to do to be able to get on the field. And that goes for every position. You know, if one position has limited numbers, that means whoever's left has to step up and make sure they fill that position until the other one gets back, or even take that position because they worked harder than the one before them.
Keon Henry Brooks is on the phone, and that was you last year, Keon. Jamari Wakefield got injured in the first game. You, as a true freshman in September, become Keyshawn Vaughn's backup. What was that like for you?
It's indescribable, really, because, you know, going into the season, I was told that I might get, you know, a little bit of playing time, but I wasn't expecting to really test the field as much as I did last year. But, you know, with Jamari Wakefield going down, you know, they told me, you know, I'm up next. I got to make sure I put in this work and just do what I'm supposed to do, because now, you know, when Keyshawn's out, that means I'm going in and all eyes on me. You know, there's such little room for errors, so I got to make sure that I do everything right. So despite the pressure, you know, it was fun being able to play in SEC football games, you know, for a true freshman. That was a fun, surprising moment for me.
What do you think you did well in that role?
Actually, I felt like I did good with. Let me see. I felt like I did good, you know, still with my cuts and my vision and still running hard because, you know, with only a certain amount of carries, I had to make sure I go hard every play because I don't know the next time I'll be in. Because, you know, despite me being the second back, you know, Keyshawn was, I think he was a second, third-year guy, so he was going to get his carries. So I knew when it was my time to come in, I had to make something happen.
Keon Henry-Brooks is on the phone, Vanderbilt football running back. Keon, let's talk about your college recruitment a little bit. You were originally committed to Arkansas State. You're from the Atlanta area. What was it like finding out you had a Vandy offer late in your recruitment in November of 2018 and deciding to switch from your previous commitment to a Power 5 SEC school?
Well, I wouldn't say it was super stressful, but, you know, it was a lot of pressure because me and my family had decided on Arkansas State, and, you know, that's where I was going to go. That's where I decided I was going to go. And then, you know, I had a visit with Coach Mason, and we talked, and he told me a little bit about how he was going to run things and what his role was going to be for me when I got here. So I went on a visit to Vanderbilt to see the campus, see things one more time. And, you know, just the second, third time I came here, I fell in love with it. And, you know, the education was amazing, and I love the staff. And even the new staff that we got this year, I'm in love with those guys. They're great.
What did Coach Mason say that your role would be when you were in high school?
Well, you know, he said he needed somebody who was going to come in and be ready to play. And, you know, for me, that's a lot coming from a head coach, you know, telling, you know, a true freshman coming in and just a freshman coming in that, you know, we're expecting you to play, so you got to come in and be ready to work. You know, I took that to heart. And, you know, I don't back down from a challenge. So knowing I had to come in and work for my spot, you know, I was prepared for that.
And you still show love to Arkansas State, too, which is great. I saw you tweeting a lot about Blake Anderson, their head coach, with everything he's gone through with his wife passing away. Of course, well-documented last year, but that's great that you're still involved with that group, and I'm sure you got to know everybody there so well. So that's very cool to see you talking with them still.
Mm-hmm.
You also tweeted on October 17, 2019, maybe my favorite football video of all time, the Juju Smith-Schuster on the sidelines asking everybody, what are you doing after the game? My guy, let's play some Fortnite, things like that. And you said, you quoted, and you said, this really be me. So what's the funniest thing that you have said or heard on the Vanderbilt football sideline?
What are you about to do tonight? What are you going to do after this? What are you about to do after this? My God, what are you about to do after the game? Oh, I'm about to go play Fortnite.
Let me think. I don't know. I'd have to remember because there's been a few sayings where I'm like, what? You know, I'm a little confused, but I can't remember at the moment. I'm sorry. I apologize if I did. I tell you.
Bring them up at the end of the interview if you remember. All right.
Okay.
I love that funny sideline stuff, and Juju kills me too. So one thing that we somehow have not talked about yet, the name on the back of your jersey is different this year. Last year, you were Keon Brooks. This year, you are Keon Henry Brooks, which is your mom's and your dad's last names hyphenated. Mm-hmm. Which one is your legal name, and why did you decide to make the switch football-wise in terms of what you go by?
So my legal name is Keon Brooks, which is my mother's last name. But, you know, growing up, I never really used my father's name that much, but he's always, you know, he's been there for me since the beginning, and he's always been in my life, whether it's football or school, and always willing to help me and things like that. So, you know, going into my next year where I felt like I'd have a bigger role on the team, I felt like, you know, it would be good if I represent his name as well as my mother's out on that field to show that, you know, I'm more than just my mother's son. Like, my father means a lot to me, and carrying his name on my back shows a lot, especially with me going into the season.
Was there a moment when you told your dad or showed your dad that it was going to be on there?
Yeah, so I honestly wanted to wait to the first game, but, you know, they changed my name on social media already, so he saw it before I was even able to tell him. And, you know, he was excited about it. He was surprised. He didn't expect me to do something like that. But I did tell my mom before I told him because it was something I wanted her to know about.
And what was her reaction?
She was like, wow, because, you know, she didn't really expect me to want to do that either. But
that's great.
It's just something I wanted to do. Yeah.
Carrie Henry and Kiana Brooks are Keon Henry Brooks's parents. So I want to give them a shout out here. That's a great story. Have you ever been confused with Kentucky basketball player who is also your same year in school, Keon Brooks, K-E-I-O-N?
Yeah, I've actually heard a little bit about him, which is actually funny.
He's really good, I think. He had a great freshman year for them last year. I assume he's still there as a sophomore. I don't think he's going into the draft or anything.
Yeah, just from, you know, social media and what I've seen, I've heard he's a really good player, but, you know, I don't know that much about him personally.
One last question for you. Keon Henry Brooks, Vanderbilt running back. You were right in the middle of what was a very interesting play in the second quarter against South Carolina, trailing 3-0, 4th-and-2 from the 3-yard line. You came out of the backfield and looked like you were pretty open on a run-pass option play when Ken Seals decided to hold it. What was your point of view on that play call and how the play played out?
You know, I thought it was a good play call. You know, whether it was, you know, it's a better man play because, you know, whether I draw my man out and then somebody trailing behind me, or whether it's a zone and I just use my speed to get to that spot. And, you know, running the play, I felt like he could have put that ball in that spot and trust me enough to catch it, you know, because I trust my hands and I trust myself enough to make that play. So I was a little upset that he held it, but, you know, it was his decision. I'm not gonna clamp down on him for it. You know, you just got to move on, make the next play. That's all we can do.
So is there an ability on that play for him to hand it to you off the bat, or it's just a pass to you or a quarterback run?
It's a pass.
Derek,
yeah, that's a passing play.
Derek Mason agreed with you in the halftime interview, by the way, that ball should have come out. So
yeah.
I thought it was a well-run play, and I'm glad to see you guys go for it on 4th-and-short at the goal line as well. So I think that's a very good mentality to have.
Yeah, just got to make those plays.
Awesome. Keon Henry Brooks, last chance for some Vandy sideline comedy here before we let you go, if you remember anything.
Let me see.
No pressure if you don't have anything. No worries.
Yeah, I wouldn't say this is that funny, but, you know, you see players that just, fall in the middle of a game out of nowhere, and you have people on the sideline talking about, you know, he just got Call of Duty sniped just now where the Turf Monster got him, and, you know, the sideline will be cracking up a little bit after that, but, you know, most people won't find that as funny, but I find it, you know, just a little bit funny.
That's awesome, and hey, that's the Juju mentality. Everything is a freaking joke with that dude, so... I love
yes,
it.
Sir.
Awesome. Keon Henry Brooks, hopefully we'll see you guys on October 31st. Thanks so much for doing this, and good luck the next week and a half of everybody getting back into game shape, we hope.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much to Keon for joining the show. Really great getting to know him. Hope to see more of him as Vanderbilt returns to action. I don't just say that at the end. I really hope they play on October 31st. Please, I really hope they play. It's a long time to get ready. They got back on the practice field on Wednesday, 17 days before that game was scheduled. The Mizzou game was postponed 19 days before their next targeted game. And obviously, that fits well around the 10-day quarantine for positive tests and the 14-day quarantine for contact tracing, which is what is really limiting Vandy's roster now. And it seems like, based on what Derek Mason said on Wednesday, that the majority of the players who are out are being contact traced by the university and are not positive tests of COVID-19, but there, of course, have to be some within the team, because Derek Mason also said that all the contact tracing that's happening with his players is coming from other players. It's not coming from other students in the university. He was asked that specifically yesterday, and he said it's coming from their players. But it's coming from players they live with, he clarified. It's not coming in the locker room. It's not coming on practice. They're being contact traced because a player they roomed with either the night before a game or they just live within their dorm room, tested positive for COVID-19. All right, enough COVID talk. Back to the football game on Saturday against South Carolina. Vanderbilt and South Carolina were featured on SEC Inside, which is the SEC Network's great mic'd up show. This show does not get enough love, by the way. I guess it airs on Monday nights after Thinking Out Loud on the network. It might be on Tuesdays. But whenever it is, whenever Vandy's featured on it and they pick a different team or game every week for football and men's basketball, and then they do the women's basketball tournament, which is always really fun to hear a whole week of mic'd up together, it's so good. I always learn something about the Vanderbilt teams. They got mics on the head coaches for both teams. You get locker room access. You hear pregame, postgame speeches. You hear coaches talking to players. Anyway, it's really good. The play we talked about at the end with Keon Henry Brooks, that fourth and two from the 3-yard line for Vandy that they went for after Pearson Cook had missed the short field goal on the previous drive, you knew they were going for it. I mean, it was obvious with the struggles that Cook had had kicking field goals. Vandy was going to go for it in that situation. Maybe they kick on fourth and 10. And oh, by the way, it was a catch and run to Keon Henry Brooks that made it third and short instead of third and long. So again, go back to him if he's available there, Ken Seals. You know Keon wants that ball. You heard him. But anyway, on SEC Inside, we heard Derek Mason say before that set of downs, or at some point during that set of downs, I imagine before, he said four down territory. He told offensive coordinator Todd Fitch four down territory. That may have been before third down, and then the third down short pass play to the running back would make a lot of sense. We don't know exactly when it was just because of how they cut the show. But it's very interesting to hear that. And then I'm going to play for you a sequence from the show on what I believe, and I said this on Monday's podcast recapping the game, was the turning point of the game. Vanderbilt was only down 10-0 after their first drive of the first half, and they went for a fake punt deep in their own territory that was very clearly snuffed out. The thing I failed to mention, I talked about how on the previous play, this was on Monday's show, which you can find on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, if you have not heard it and want to hear kind of the more in-depth discussion of this play. My reaction before hearing this from Derek Mason and Will Muschamp is in the Mic'd Up too. The third down play was a pass to Chris Pierce over the middle that he had and then he dropped, but we couldn't see it on official review. The ref who had it was literally right there and had an angle that no camera did in the building. It was just closed off to where all the cameras are. The majority of the cameras are on Vanderbilt's sideline and there's one in each end. But just because of the way that the catch was angled, there was no definitive replay. You got to trust that ref. He said it hit the ground. Incomplete. But the play was reviewed. And I did not think about the fact that the play being reviewed allowed both punt teams to huddle before Vanderbilt tried the fake punt. And that seemed to be what doomed them here after they had also run a fake punt successfully the previous week against LSU. So this is Derek Mason and Will Muschamp going back and forth on SEC Inside. This audio all belongs to the SEC Network from their great, great program, SEC Inside. You'll hear Derek Mason and Will Muschamp going back and forth here with the narration and the call of the play as well.
Let's go, let's go, let's go.
Hey, watch for a fake.
Let's go.
You watch for the fake. We're species. Sit in there and watch for it, all right?
That was Muschamp.
The Gamecocks set the tempo right away. First, they snuff out a fake punt.
Yeah! Yeah!
That's a very joyous Will Muschamp. Again, SEC Inside. You can watch it on replay. I think it comes offline at some point, but if you're an SEC Network subscriber, just go on watch ESPN on your phone or on the computer, and you can rewatch the whole show. It's a half an hour. It's really, really good, like I said. But that was Derek Mason saying, let's go, in the beginning. And then Muschamp in the Carolina huddle with his punt return team is saying, watch the fake. Just don't try and block the punt. Just stand there. And watching the play, that's exactly what happened. So they called it. So word of the wise, maybe don't run a fake punt out of a stoppage because it was a free timeout on the review. So that was very interesting for me to hear. I still can't believe that Vanderbilt tried the fake punt there. The fact that they did it in a situation where Muschamp could tell his punt blockers that makes it even worse. They were down 10-0. The game was within reach. And then on the next offensive drive, after Vanderbilt had let it get to 17-0, Ken Seals was incredible. So if you have that drive in you, you can presumably replicate it after getting a defensive stop and getting a punt back to you. Because Vandy defense was good up until that point. But you give them a short field. It only took two carries for South Carolina to get it in. And from then on, the defense was just deflated and not competitive from that point. But again, always interesting to hear what goes down on SEC Inside. Normally, I know in advance when that's coming for Vandy because I'll be on the field or in the press box and see the SEC Inside camera crew. They don't hide themselves. They wear shirts that say SEC Inside. I asked them if I could have one. They said no chance a couple years ago at the Vandy TCU basketball game. But they're there. They do a great job. I doubt Vandy football will be on again. Usually they get every basketball team once. And then they do it, like I said, for the conference tournaments for women's basketball. And I think last year they did it for baseball. 2 years ago now, the last SEC tournament. And, of course, Vanderbilt featured prominently there. Thanks to Keon Henry Brooks for joining us for the interview. Very good to talk to him. Cool to get to know him, hear about his football life and what Vandy football is doing right now without a lot of players. And he is the first player to speak to the media since the Mizzou game was postponed. So hope you guys enjoyed that perspective as well. Thanks to Sarah Fetters for making that interview and all these weekly player interviews happen. And we will talk baseball on Monday. Of course, there's not going to be a football game to recap. But the Vanderbilt Baseball Black and Gold Series is this weekend. It is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Unfortunately, it is not open to the public, which I think is a university call. You know, if Tim Corbin was making the call, he'd say let the fans in or at least let some in. I will be there on Saturday announcing the game. It will be online streaming, audio only, I believe. I don't think there will be a video feed. I believe it will be audio only. All three games will be streamed on VUCommodores.com. Same spot you would go to listen to any radio broadcast on VUCommodores.com, and there'll be links on the baseball Twitter page. I'll tweet it as well from my Twitter account. I'll be on the call Saturday. First pitch is at 1 for game number 2. I don't know the rosters yet. I don't know probable pitchers, but I will have those coming into the weekend at some point, and I'll publicize whatever I can get. The team captains were the two senior position players, Cooper Davis and Jason Gonzalez. They picked backyard baseball style, and Cooper Davis said that his black team is going to be tough to beat. But we heard from Cooper Davis, Tim Corbin, and Kumar Rocker in a Zoom press conference yesterday. I will be recapping what I see in the Black and Gold series and then also playing a lot of that press conference for you on Monday's episode because there was a lot of good stuff in there. That's all the time we've got for today. You've been anchoring down and listening up with me, Max Herz. It's the Anchor Down Podcast on ESPN. 102.5 The Game.